Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. From the Gotham Podcast Studios, it's the Ain't Hard to Tell Podcast, Dexter Henry Brian Fonseca, episode number 40. And for the first time, we have a guest returning.
Yes.
Woohoo!
You just heard her. That is the great Michelle Yu, reporter, anchor, SNY. She is back.
I'm back for the second time.
You're the first
and
person
I'm
to
happy.
Come back twice.
Well, thank you. I feel so flattered.
Yeah, and you were shocked to find out that your video did the most views out of any video we put out.
I truly am so shocked.
It's true. It's not a
lot. Well,
lie.
I'm Asian. We don't take compliments. So I'm just like, oh, okay.
You should take that compliment. It's really good. It's a really, really
well,
good
one. Well, thank
you
so much. I'm happy to be back. Really happy
yes,
to be
yes,
back.
Yes, yes,
yes. We're happy to have you.
Want to just tell everybody, make sure everybody's phones is on airplane mode before we continue.
Mine's on
recording.
Airplane mode. Well, I was playing a lot of games because I was stuck on the train.
Oh, we're going to start with that. Both of you guys got here late because
of stuck.
Oh, my God. MTA.
The MTA sucks because it is the weekend, and I get you have to do your work, but, you know, people have to go places on the weekends, too.
They do.
Like, I was stuck on West 4th Street for
that's,
15
that's where
minutes.
I was.
Yes,
that's
thank
where
you.
I was.
Yes.
You guys had a shared MTA hell experience.
Were you on the A?
Yeah, the blue line. It was on the E.
Yeah.
It was
awful.
That's
where I was, too. I got off and walked and took a – I forgot to pay my Lyft driver. He's going to have to wait. But it's like – so I left
– pay him or tip him?
I'm not tipping. I don't tip Lyft drivers. That's another conversation we can
have. Yeah, that's another conversation.
Okay, we'll go. Somebody asked me that. Did you text me that and ask me that the other day?
No.
Okay, somebody asked me.
But I don't, because, like, you're already getting paid. Whatever. What's it called?
Nightmare MTA.
So
that's what we're talking about.
So I left to get here. I always say it's a 40-minute commute.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's easy to get to. So I left at 4 thinking I'll probably be here around 4:45 because, you know, give or take, maybe we'll stop at a stop or whatever because, you know, the train takes rest stops.
Oh, yeah, this like one that. Took like a 15-minute rest stop at West 4th Street.
And you didn't have that long of a ride
either. No, I mean, it takes me 15 minutes to get here. But it took me an extra like 30 minutes because of that.
So So the L was perfect today. The L was fine.
Which is a shocker because that's going to be putting a lot of people very miserably.
I might get a bike. I'm not even kidding. I might get a bike instead of a car or something. Like, I got
to
do something.
That's what de Blasio wants you to do.
So never mind.
Yes, exactly.
I don't
let him win.
I don't want older people to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, are you in? Because Brian had this rant a couple weeks ago. He's late.
Oh, I have another one coming
worse.
Right now.
Are you down on the MTA? Do you feel like the MTA? Are you another person to say MTA sucks? Because I get all these complaints. Like, my fiance, Marguerite, is always texting me in the morning going to work. She's like, babe, another delay.
Oh, the MTA. If you want to go on the MTA and you want to, like, have a nice meditation for your day, you go on the MTA. That's what you do. Because you sit there. You could play your game. I play my Toy Blast. Like, it's like a Candy Crush game.
Okay.
I send my emails. I text people. They have free Wi-Fi. I mean, it's like they want you to enjoy the MTA, but it's a nightmare. So I do all my errands on the MTA. So sometimes I go home and visit my parents on the in the Bronx, so I take the 2-3 train.
Right.
That's like going to like Pittsburgh, you know, because I'm in the Bronx going to Manhattan. I might as well like go back, you know, to DC on an Amtrak back and forth, and I can make that time. It's ridiculous. And along the way, I see a lot of different characters.
Oh, absolutely.
The
scenery. So you get your entertainment.
I do.
Meditation and entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you'll get.
Yes, but it's not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
Don't get me started on that.
Look, some people use it as an opportunity to ask you for some things that you're not prepared to give them, so there's that. Anyway, so what's it called?
Yes.
So I transferred onto the A at like, what is that, 8th Avenue or whatever? So I got on, We got to, what was the next stop? What's before West 4th Street? Do you remember what's before West 4th Street?
Broadway Lafayette.
Okay, we were on Broadway Lafayette. Mm-hmm. In between there and West 4th Street, we just stopped. No explanation, randomly, we just stopped. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Like, it's bad. You're a native New Yorker. You know what this is already. So it's like, okay, so we're probably going to be here for a while. That's when I sent the text. And then about 15 minutes later, we get to West 4th. And then for some reason, they just start going on the F line. Like, without explanation at all. So then, you know, we get to West 4th, whatever the stop is after that. I got off and I took a Lyft to get here, which also took a while because the driver was 9 minutes away, canceled the ride.
Oh, he doesn't deserve a tip.
Waited a few minutes. and then the next driver that I called was 7 minutes away. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
That's a one star for him.
I'm just going to take it.
A one star.
One star, no tip, or one star with a tip?
One star,
look,
no tip.
I'm all about keeping your business going, so I try to give all
that
these drivers.
That face you have on right now, Brian, is a one star with no tip. I mean.
And Brian's like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
He looks.
You know what? I don't recommend driving through Manhattan, but, you know, I'm not going to give him the one star. I give the MTA one star. Can I do that? Because I already tweeted at them. I'm like, listen, the weekend is not an opportunity for you or an excuse for you to be incompetent and to be incompetent without explanation.
Agreed.
Tell us, and if you're going to tell us, don't leave the fan on so we can hear you why you suck today.
Like, but you see, here's the thing, guys. I think that the MTA doesn't give an explanation because they don't have to. Because they're like, how else are you going to get around as efficiently and cheaply as this? We don't have to.
That
I'm not
mean
saying
it.
That's right.
Do not
I'm just saying
the bear.
That's why they do it.
I'm getting
do
a car
not,
next year. I'm getting I'm a car next
you,
year.
I'm just
like,
telling
that's
you
it.
Why
that's not
they
the,
do it.
Dex, that's not the right way to think. We need to fight this fight.
How?
Listen, New Yorkers
how,
fight
how,
this
how,
fight.
How? I want to know how.
I don't
know.
Riding?
I will get out in front of this. I will use this
don't
podcast medium to get out in front of this.
I know. I was like, don't get in front of the train. That's what I was saying.
No.
Don't do that.
The fight.
Okay.
Because you know I like violence. We established that last episode.
We established that.
Well, we fought the fight because we made it here.
Yeah.
There
and
you
we
go.
Are, yeah. So
you
are
all
yes,
here.
We're all
that's
here.
True.
We're
true.
All here.
Yes.
You guys
applause.
Made, because Michelle texted me and told me, she was like, Dexter, I'm stuck at West 4th at the same thing.
Yeah.
But she made it before you, and then you had a whole nother adventure. But we're all here.
And that's
and
what
Michelle
matters.
And Michelle is back.
Yeah, I'm glad about that.
Thank
I'm,
you.
I'm glad that you didn't have to pay an extra $8.50 for a Lyft ride. To which
yes.
I still haven't made yes. official because I still haven't paid the man yet.
I don't think you are.
By the way, I love this room right now. It's like the United Colors of Benetton.
It is.
It is. It's lovely.
It is.
It's
it really
so lovely.
Is. But it's always lovely.
When it is. A nice shirt you have.
Yellow.
On.
I got a little yellow Black
you know?
Panther.
So, well, yeah, I love it. I mean, I don't have any. I look like a sailor.
Well,
but,
you're
you
wearing
know.
My favorite color, navy blue. Navy
yes,
blue
yes.
Color
and yeah, it,
and,
this is fantastic.
And I have
the black.
I
it's
have
a multicolored.
I have a Nas quote, pre Kanye and Khalees. Controversy.
Wow. So New York.
I just want to point that out.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. I love it.
But Michelle, you were here. What have you been up to? Last time we had you on, Athletic Appetites was rolling. Now it's changed. Now you got a half hour show.
Mm. Yeah.
So you hopefully you haven't got big time on us, but you're back here. So
no. No, I'm here. No, it's been really a lot of fun. Like, I've really had a great opportunity to like meet wonderful athletes and get to know them in a different way. I think when you eat with someone, there's a genuine connection. And I think, you know, as Anthony Bourdain, may he rest in peace, once
yes.
said, when you sit down with someone for a meal, you know them in a way that, you know, you wouldn't know someone, you know, for 10 years if, you know, you didn't eat with them. So so I think it's interesting, you know, like meeting these athletes. They're just normal people eating, you know, with you having a meal. So it's been really fun, and there's different cast of characters.
What's been the difference, you know, now doing it as a half-hour show as opposed to when you had segments and online? Like, how's that changed for you?
It hasn't changed that much because basically we're just grouping together some of the four segments that we've done and just putting it together. So it's like the ins and outs. Like, I remember the first one that we've done, you know, we got to shoot a bunch of scenic stuff, like, and around the city, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, Times Square, South Street Seaport, and all that stuff. So that was kind of fun. We are looking for a sponsor for Athletic Appetites, too. So if you know anyone that would like to...
We're looking for one, too.
How about Lyft or Uber Eats, you know, if you're listening out there?
We actually have Lyft, kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
For this
so,
podcast.
But it's going well. I
don't
did,
get the MTA.
No, not the MTA. Although if the MTA did sponsor Athletic Appetites, I would like them a little bit more.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. I would. I would give them, like, a pass.
Would their money come in on time?
You know, that's true. With the athletes coming on time, that would be a whole other issue if the athletes had to come in to my shoot on a subway.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. But but it's been a lot of fun. I did a Jets tasting. I tasted some of the foods.
That was what it was.
Yes.
Now I remember.
Oh, yeah, you were texting me about
that. The other day you posted something on Instagram.
Yes.
One of the Instagram stories. It was a close-up on, you were at MetLife.
Yes.
And it was a close-up on these tater tots you had.
Oh, yeah.
And we were you called me after.
Yes, actually called you after.
It was like right at that moment, and I was like, yo, thank God you called me, because I was looking at these tater tots Michelle posted, and they were so good.
Yes, it was awesome.
That legitimately happened.
And were they as good as they looked?
They were. They were very good. All the food there is very good. It's all kind of like nasty delicious, right? It's like a trillion calories, but so yummy.
Now,
when I say nasty.
Were you doing the tasting in the players, what's the club lounge they have on the lower level?
You know what I'm talking about.
The Toyota Lounge. Were you there?
Yeah. I was there.
Okay, because I've had some of the food there. It was really good.
Well, what I love about this year's, I'll give you a little preview of the Jets food this year.
Yeah, because we want to watch
this.
There is
a lot of international flavor, because they have like empanadas like from Colombia, and then they do a little empanadas with like Asian stuff and like Korean stuff, like kimchi and Chinese and like European food, like French, and like, so it's very interesting that they did a little global spin to it, and they did a little healthy spin to it. So if you want to go to MetLife Stadium and eat healthy, you can get like a nice like farro kale fresh heirloom tomato salad with some grilled chicken.
So it sounds so hungry.
Nice and fresh and farm to table, which is a different flair, you know, for a football game.
Yes, definitely.
Which is great. So my segment on that airs in one of the Jets pregame shows, because we want all the Jet fans to like
to see that.
And then of course they had the usual like nasty but delicious food, like the tater tots, but they had like truffle French fries and things like that. So that was really yummy. And the burger, that's different to food tasting. Sorry, I get my food tastings mixed up.
I can see why.
Yeah. They have a great chicken parm station with like, you know, chicken and these Korean barbecue like kimchi like brisket
barbecue.
Sliders.
Ooh. Brisket sliders.
Yeah, so good.
And you know I'm a fiend for brisket.
Yes. it's Korean barbecue style.
Which I love.
Brisket.
Okay.
Ooh. So there's a twist to it. So it's very good. So definitely, if you go, you got to check that out.
All right. So you've got some interesting stuff coming up. I have to ask you, because you're always traveling.
Yeah.
I can't even keep up with you. Where have you gone this summer, and did you taste any good food while you were gone?
So I toured Italy. So my husband and I, we went to, flew into Rome, drove down to Amalfi Coast. We did a little Amalfi Coast, then went up to Naples, the Pompeii, and then we flew up to Milan, and then we drove up to Lake Como, and we came back to Milan and spent some time there, and then flew home. So we were gone for like almost 2 weeks, and it was great, and we got to taste like different foods of Italy, which is fantastic, because like each region has like really different foods.
Yep.
A lot of pasta eating, but like all good. You think everything is like fresh there. I cooked with John Franco once. He said to me, he goes, Michelle, when you go to Italy, everything is just like not fattening because it's so fresh. And it's, I go, no, it's still pasta, John. He's like, no, everything is so fresh. It's good for you. So that was my mentality that when I went there. But it was so delicious. It was so good.
Yeah. How was the wine out there?
Oh, my God. The wine is so cheap. It's cheaper than a bottle of water. Like, I'm not lying to you. It's like €3 for...
Another reason to hate America?
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't give me any more.
Drinking for a lot cheaper.
Oh, yeah. And people are drinking at 11 a.m. Like, I go there, and I'm like, what are we doing with our lives? Seriously, what are we doing with our lives?
So it's like wine for breakfast?
Kind of.
I'm fine with that.
Like brunch every day.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, you could be Amari Stoudemire and bathe in wine.
That's true.
Or that
you
too.
You can.
Or not.
You can.
So I'm a big three last week.
But where you were going with that was, what are we doing? You know, American culture seems like sometimes we don't enjoy enough. Not in an indulgent way, but in a relaxation kind of way,
True. We don't enjoy our lives enough, I don't think.
And I feel like I see that whenever I travel.
You know what it is, though? We're, especially in this country, like, we're programmed so much to just work. Like, we have, sick days are a stupid concept, if you think about it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're sick... You're sick. You shouldn't have, you know.
But if you're sick and you call out sick, they're like, oh, they're not sick. They're, you know, they're going somewhere.
So it's like if you get cancer, do you run out of sick days?
You know what's funny? At the where I work now, I don't have a limit on sick days.
Oh.
At all, which is actually really
nice. All work there then.
Right?
I remember when I saw that, when I got hired, I was like, oh, wow, there's no limit on sick days? Yeah, you can just...
By the way, congratulations on your new job. Proud of you, Dex.
Thank you. Oh, man. Now, yes. Michelle has me blushing now.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's true, though, like in American cultures, we're just kind of brought up that way where, hey, you're supposed to, even if you're very efficient at your job, where, mm-hmm. like, you don't need to be there 9 to 5. You can do all your work from 9 to 1.
Yes.
But, no, you have to stay here, show face, because right. it's very important to just be at this job in this little cubicle, and then you can go. Yeah. And by the time you get home, you're fried. You just want to, you know, watch TV or play video games and do nothing, and then it's like...
Which is why you have to try to enjoy life as much as possible and do what you love.
But we should be doing it in Italy. That's what we should be doing.
Or the Italian way, at least.
Yes. I mean, this is a sample life of Italy. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't even talk about people on mm-hmm. vacation. They wake up, they get their little pastry or whatnot, little cup of coffee, which is delicious. Sit there, ponder about life for, an hour.
Way more relaxed.
Talk to their neighbors. And then, all of a sudden it's 10 o'clock. Oh, it's lunchtime. Oh, let me take a two-hour lunch. They take
Everybody
2-hour lunches.
That.
Places are closed. Stores are closed.
For lunch.
So they're back at 2, and then they're done by 5, and they're like, oh, it's time for aperitivo, which is like, happy hour. Right. But it's not really dinner. Oh, by the way, this is the other thing Americans are doing happy hour wrong. Like, massive plates of free food, delicious. I'm not talking about little peanuts. I'm talking about big slices of, like, nice pizzas and chunks of, like, fresh, like, zucchini, like, fried zucchini, like, balls and, like, whatnot. Free for you to enjoy during aperitivo hour. While you're drinking. Why do I need to eat dinner? You know what I'm saying?
Plus, it's also better when you drink instead of the way we do it here, which is, like, try to... down as much alcohol as can possibly for cheap during the hours from 5 to 7.
They give you some pretzels and they're saying they're generous here, right?
Pretzels.
And I bet you, and I bet you in Italy they still get a lot of work done.
Yeah, they do.
I'm sure they do.
I bet you
I'm
they
sure.
do.
And it's funny you guys bring this up because
we're doing everything ass backwards.
We are. Hustling backwards for sure. Totally. And I remember my cousin was bringing up the same thing. She lives in France and she was telling me, in America, you guys are just working way too hard. We were just having this conversation.
For not enough money.
Yeah, that
yes,
too.
It's
and
true.
And she's right. She's right. The European culture around it, because not just Italy, it's France and even England, it's just so much different, so much more relaxed, and they just enjoy themselves more on vacations.
Yeah.
Whatever. But bringing it back to the States.
Lovely. Yeah, we are
in the States.
We do. Because we have
it's Sunday, and after this, I have to go to work.
You have to go to work.
Right.
And part of the reason we have Michelle here is Michelle's an avid tennis fan and he's done a lot of coverage
my
on the
favorite
US
2 weeks.
Yes, your favorite 2 weeks, which is why we have you here for this
I will
this
be
episode.
There tomorrow.
Oh, good.
And I'm covering it this year.
The
so
US
I'll be there
Open.
A bunch of the 2 weeks, yeah.
So you guys will be at the US Open.
Yes.
It's another interesting year, but I think Serena's always a story, right?
Yeah.
Somehow
Serena's always a story. But before we get into Serena playing, okay, we had this thing come up from Serena. The French Open was a precedent, an interview. Said Serena could no longer wear the catsuit she wore this year.
Right.
It was designed by Nike to help her with the blood clotting that she experienced due pregnancy. I had my reaction to this, which I was disappointed in the French Open. What was your reaction to this and saying, hey, Serena can't wear this anymore?
Well, I thought it was weird. The one quote from the French Federation that mm-hmm. I thought was offensive was, you have to respect the game.
Yeah, I hate that.
So, okay, so I get, like, Wimbledon, for example, like, you have to wear all white. So mm-hmm. I guess that's a tradition, right? So if that's something that's been set mm-hmm. that you have to do and you come wearing black, then, I get it if you're being kicked out, like, it's fine, because that's been the tradition for 100 years. You have to respect that.
Right.
You have to respect that part of the game, which I do
that I'm fine
respect.
With. Agreed.
Yeah. Even though I don't care about tradition.
You don't care for traditions. Yeah. We know this.
Well, that's like the British, right?
Yeah.
Like the queen comes, like
and
all
she has
that
to be
stuff.
In all white.
But like in this case, like, I don't know, people have been wearing weird clothes to play in the French Open like forever. It's not so one year, I mean, this year Serena comes in with an all black getup and she just had a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're going to and she needed those pants for blood circulation, which by the way, the French Federation claims they did not know. I don't know if you knew there's a new twist to this
not
now.
Buying that.
They've come out. Serena was at Media Day yesterday and she came out to say that everything is smoothed over because she talked to them and that the French Federation did not know that it was for blood circulation and that if they had known that they would not have said what they have said.
Okay. Just to take that, and I thought you said something initially. You said, "Hey, this where you found it offensive,"
right?
And I did too. And I thought any women that want to play the sport should absolutely be offended right. by this, because I looked at the outfit and I started saying, "What's wrong with it?"
Right? Well, because it's not that cute little dress where you show, you know, your legs and
so
the
because we're seeing
outfit.
Some of Serena's curves. You're mad at that?
I'm not mad.
Not
at
you.
That.
I'm
yeah, I'm just saying.
You still can in the catsuit.
Right.
Sort of
no, yeah, I'm saying you yeah. still could in any other outfit. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I don't think it made a difference. That's yeah. what I'm saying. That's yeah. What I'm
so
questioning.
From their perspective, it's like, what are you doing?
So here? I'm like, now you were like, this catsuit, in their words, this is too far. Because right. I don't want to misquote them. It's like, this is going too far.
Right.
Why didn't anybody ask this question in an interview?
Right.
How is this going too far?
But why didn't anyone say anything before? Like, why is it now? French Open was over months ago.
Timing is interesting, right?
That right?
You announced this 2 days before the U.S.
Yes.
Open.
Yes.
Very interesting.
So
why?
That is the thing. I was like, okay, she wore this. When she first wore that at the French Open, well, Serena has always been known to wear interesting outfits.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, which yeah. that's her. That's who she is. And when she wore the catsuit, I was like, oh, you know, this is her way of saying I'm a superhero. You know, I'm...
And I love the whole Black Panther thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved
so,
it.
Fine. That's her way of expressing herself, you know, to her fans, which I think is great because everyone should express, to their fans in their own way. In their own... Everyone should not just wear the same tennis skirt and, you know, do whatever right. and be like, you know, here. So I don't know why they said it months later. Like, oh, next year, like, she can't do that. So I thought the timing, like you said, was
very
a little strange.
Yes,
and then and then now to say, like, it's okay, it's all a little fishy. Like, I think there was a little bit of, Serena and her fans are calling it racism. But I don't want to say it's racism. I think it's a little bit of a bias. Like, saying,
I'd say it leans a little bit more to sexism to me. Because at least... That's what it screamed to me. I understand where her Black fans,
right.
myself,
of
may say it's a little bit of racism
yes.
because
yeah.
of the Black Panther and the
course.
Empowerment thing that might
yes.
come through it.
I didn't see it that way, though.
I can't definitively say that. So yeah. I don't see... What screamed to me was sexism, because I was just wondering if other women did this. And this is
or if a man wore long pants
right,
to play.
Right.
Like, what if a Roger Federer wore long pants to play and it was fitted and it was like spandex? Like,
right.
what would they say?
Right. Would we then criticize that man for
right.
showing off his body?
Right.
No, I don't think it will play that way.
I don't
and
think
that's
so
where,
either.
That's what I can't definitively say that it's racist,
although,
but I do see the sexism.
It could. I mean.
Well, Twitter went wild and a lot of like.
Yeah,
like
oh,
you
absolutely.
Said, the African-American
the,
fans
yeah.
were all like, but, oh my God, it's racism.
But they were also pulling up, they being like these Twitter streets, they were pulling up the woman who played in a tournament with the all white get up. I don't remember who it was and what tournament it was. This is from like the 80s or the 90s. It was
well,
woman...
there's an American woman named Bethany Maddox Sands. Mm-hmm. She always wears eclectic outfits. She wears like knee-high socks with like plaid.
Yes,
and
I've
she,
seen
do you,
I've
you've
seen,
seen this.
Yes,
and
I
so
have.
She wears this and, you know, she wears it as a fashion statement. It's not for any medical reason or anything like that. No one said anything forever when she wears these type of outfits. There was another player a couple of years ago, a male player, Radek Stepanek. He mm-hmm. had holes like in the back of his shirt.
Shirt.
And people said that it resembled like a fish because it had holes. And no one really said anything about that. So if you want to talk about respecting the game, I don't think that's respecting the game when you're wearing something like that, right? So
yeah.
you're trying to tell me a standard tennis outfit is a tennis skirt and like a tank top and your hair in a ponytail. So you can still wear something with a hole or like knee-high socks, but you can't wear a catsuit. Like that to me doesn't
my whole
sense.
Thing is in most case scenarios, just don't tell me what to wear.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to wear what you tell me what to wear.
I think that what you brought up with the other two people is that's probably what gave the opening for, I think, some people to be like, hey, is this racist? Because now you have this
yes,
Black woman
yes.
that does this. And, well, we saw these two other people who
Dex
were
picked
not,
your mic up.
Who were white and they wore it.
Yeah.
And it was okay. I still think it leans more to sexism
yes.
here. And where I do think it might go is it might have something to do with Serena's body type and being a Black woman and being maybe a little bit more curvaceous.
And she's not 90 pounds, so it's not right for... Yeah, but who's 90 pounds that plays tennis, honestly?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Right?
Yeah.
Even
so,
if you take your Maria Sharapovas and,
yeah.
and Anna Kournikovas and all these...
Listen, whether you're a Black, white, or Asian, there are like very curvy... athletic type looking
yes.
athletes in tennis, in basketball, in whatever sport there is. So I don't understand why they're pinpointing and, like, you know, saying that it's her, like, you know, that has to do this.
I want to see. I mean, Serena says she doesn't really care and she's not going to wear the same thing twice, and I understand all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She'll come out with something outrageous, I think.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope she does it at the French Open, too.
Yeah.
I'd love it to just kind of be a big middle finger.
Maybe like a ballerina, like tutu kind of thing. It'll be.
She should just do something
like,
so
and she'll be
top.
Like, I'm a French ballerina. What are you going to say?
Yeah, for real.
Right? You know?
It should say bonjour in the front.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. No, but that. I mean, these outfits, like, I've always known Serena to wear stuff the way she wants to express herself.
Absolutely.
I thought this was another way, you know, of her expressing herself.
I did too. I did like. I did really like Nike's response.
I was gonna get to
though.
That. Did you like? Did you like Nike's response?
I did like Nike's response.
I thought
response.
It was fantastic.
Where they said, well, "What was it exactly?"
You can't take the. You can't take the. You can take the superhero out the costume, but you can't take away her powers.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And get to her superpowers, and I loved it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's literally who it applies to, probably more than anybody else in sports outside of like LeBron.
And I just look. We talked about this before. I'm a huge Serena fan. I love Serena. I love everything she stood for, everything that she's done. What do you make of just where she is now? Obviously, there's so much made of her trying to get to 24.
Yeah.
Does that mean a lot, or should it not? Because
I think it means a lot now, because to her personally, she's a mom now. Mm-hmm. So I think now that she had, you know, her baby, I think a lot of there have been women who have been pregnant, come back on the tour, and won a Grand Slam, like Kim Clijsters. But I feel like she's the queen of tennis, right? So she wants to come back and prove that she can do that. And I think she's more hungry than ever. In fact, I think she said today, like, I feel like I have so much more to prove now. Like, I'm hungry. I practice harder. I play harder because, you know, I have a daughter, but yet I still want to prove so much, like, out there. So I think she wants to break that record, of course, but I also think she wants to show and prove to all the people out there that, you know, I'm great, but I'm really, like, the best, because I can be a mom, come back, and still do all this without, you know, any, you know, uncertainty or anything like that. And I think Serena's mindset and just like how mentally tough she is, mm-hmm. like that gives her the motivation and the drive to do that. And that's what you have to respect. Whether you like Serena or not, you have to respect that about her, because she's so motivated and so focused on that one goal now. And I really liked what she did at Wimbledon when she lost the finals.
Yeah.
But then she said, I did this for all the moms out there.
Yeah,
because, you know, everyone knows how hard it is. You know, I'm not a mother, you know, yet, but like everyone knows how hard it is, you know, to be a mom, come back to work, and for her to be an athlete, like, you know, and come back and do this, like, and get to the finals. I mean, she didn't win, but, I mean, that's an amazing feat.
It was inspirational.
Yeah.
I mean, even as a man, for me, it was inspirational to see that.
Yeah.
See her do that. And I thought it represented so much for women and mothers coming back to work.
Yes.
And if you've watched any women do that or know women who've done that, as you said, you know how tough it is.
Yeah.
How do you think she does here at this U.S. Open?
Well, it's interesting because she kind of got screwed in the draw.
17, yeah. And so she might play her sister
in the third round. And she has like so many players in her quarter that have, you know, that are champions or are future champions, you know, or have beaten her. So I think even though they gave her a 17th seed, like, her road is really tough because she could possibly play her sister in the third round. I mean, years ago that used to be a final, everyone.
Final, yes.
Like, this is the third round and she's going to play her sister. Like, so it's a little crazy, but she is going to be featured in opening night, which, you know, she should, you know, because she's Serena.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how she does. I know she's hungry, you know, for another title. So I want to see, you know, how she does that. And her daughter is so freaking cute.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
She's so freaking cute.
I think she was in Italy not that long ago also, right?
Yes. Oh, because her perfect husband was like, Serena wanted Italian for dinner, so I took her to Italy.
I saw that.
made all of us feel horrible.
Yes, exactly.
I saw that post.
Yeah.
You know what my problem with that post is, though? Because then other women get ideas and it's like,
hey. Women should be treated like that. If we want a bowl of pasta, we should be brought to Italy.
All the way to Italy.
Yo,
I'm in the mood for Mexican food. Yeah, let's go to Tijuana.
After that post, they had like Margaret looking at me like, "What you doing?"
Yeah, exactly. It made all the men out there feel bad. That's why I say he's the perfect husband.
I was like, "Damn, I gotta get dinner from Italy."
Man. Yeah, it's true.
I'm not doing it.
We have plenty of Italian food throughout New York City.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of food, went to the food tasting at the U.S. Open too a couple of days ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes.
The must food that I think anyone listening and you guys should definitely
if you go at the
U.S. Open is the Fuku Burger, which is the Mama Fuku brand, which is like this amazing chef David Chang. He has Mama Fuku noodle bars like all over the city.
Yes.
So he has a concession. Fuku's actually everywhere now. It's like a more of a fast food of his brand.
Yeah.
They have a Fuku burger. It is like this delicious, cheeseburger with this like kind of English muffin like bun. But it's not exactly an English muffin. It's softer. It is so delicious and juicy, and it's so good.
Really?
So you have to try that.
Yeah, I saw that they had like a lot of seafood, ribeye at the food tasting event.
Yeah, they had seafood. Lobster. Although I don't know if I would get seafood
when you're at the U.S. Open.
I would. Yeah. I'm not a big seafood guy. I only like fish.
Especially
and shrimp.
Sporting events. That thing can get rotten.
No.
Yeah, that too.
You could be running to the bathroom. That's what I'm saying.
I go for the default chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Did you do Taste of Tennis this year?
I did not do Taste of Tennis because I had to work. But I did the U.S. Open tasting the same day of Taste of Tennis.
Okay.
So I couldn't. I don't think I could have bared like two big helpings of a Taste
Michelle
of Tennis.
Michelle and Michelle's husband, we were at Taste of Tennis a couple years ago. I was working. Were you working? Or you just there to have the food.
I just went there to have the food.
I was working. Then I was done, and Michelle was like, "Oh, well, you're done. You got to come over and have some food." And I had some food and some drinks. Husband, so much good food there too. You got to do that one time. Taste of Tennis.
It's
good. Yeah, so much good food.
But
so
only for the food, like a savage.
No, like no, you can go there and network and see the players.
I need to do that.
They have a kick-ass goodie bag. Don't forget to get that when you
leave. Goodie bag. All right. What's in a goodie bag?
It's like a blender or something.
A blender.
Something like really cool, like a juicer or something.
Oh, yeah. I need that. I love smoothies.
Yeah, no, it was good. I had a good time, and it was there. And I actually met Serena. I actually shook Serena's hand.
There you go.
That night I was there, so that was cool.
We've crossed paths at the U.S. Open 2 years ago. I remember that. I knew it was her from very far away because people were like running up with their, and I was a production assistant, so I'm not allowed to like.
Right,
you know,
right.
But a lot of people were just walking up with their phones out, and I just saw hair.
I just
saw hair walking to me, and then I'm like, oh, as it got closer, I'm like, that's her. Oh, that, yeah, yeah.
that's her.
Like,
so
that's the real thing.
Yeah, so it's going to be real interesting. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We have Michelle for a couple more minutes. When we come back, we'll talk about the men's side, also report.
Go Rafa!
You're rooting for Rafa. I know you're Rafa. You're a Rafa fan. I know that.
I almost bought his pink sneakers.
Really?
His gray and pink sneakers. What?
Yeah,
I wanted a pair of pink sneakers.
Are you not a Rafa fan? I'm leaving the show.
I'm not anti-Rafa. I do lean more to Federer. I kind of have been.
I mean, I don't have anything against Federer, but I'm a Rafa fan.
Okay, we'll get into why.
I'm a Djokovic.
We'll get into
I'm leaving the. I'm leaving now.
I said I met him once.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Real serious here. We'll get into that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back on Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. It ain't hard to tell where to get the latest merchandise from Backpack Broadcasting. Gear is now available via TeePublic. Visit the Backpack Broadcasting TeePublic online store to get shirts, hoodies, mugs, and phone cases. Represent your favorite Backpack Broadcasting shows, including The Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, and of course, the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Check out the special offers for our podcast listeners at http://t.pub/lic/backpack. Get in the game with your official Backpack Broadcasting gear today. Welcome back to the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca, and our guest for the second time here on the show, Michelle Yu of SNY.
Woo!
Now, Michelle, before we went to the break, you let us know that you are a huge fan.
I am.
Of Rafa.
Love Rafa.
You love Rafa.
In fact, my friends say, like, you're such a huge Rafa fan that you married a man named Rafa. So
look at Dexter's face.
So when you think about that, I guess, does that make me creepy or does that make me just a hardcore fan? I don't know, but
I
love my husband for who he is, not because his name is Rafa. So, yeah, I see.
Next time I meet your husband, we're going to have to talk about that.
Yes.
What is your issue with Rafa?
Nothing. I have no Wi-Fi.
You have an issue with Rafa. Let's talk about that. Why are you not a Rafael Nadal fan?
I have no issue with him. I think he's great. He's a fantastic player. All right. I just thought it was interesting that you were willing to cop his shoes. I didn't know that you were a fan of his shoes.
Not because it were his shoes. I just wanted a pair of pink sneakers. I still do. Okay. And I liked his. They were gray and they had the pink in the bottom.
God,
I was like,
got me pegged for being a Rafa.
I mean, yeah. And he's cool.
Rafa's very cool. Yeah.
The U.S. Open that I did, he had that great match with, who was the guy that beat him? Pui.
Oh, Luca yeah.
Pui.
Okay, yeah. That was two years ago.
Two years ago. That was a good match. Yeah. Rafa's, you know why I love Rafa? I'll tell you why. Because I play tennis, as you know.
Yeah.
And, like, the way he fights on the tennis court is like no other. Like, he basically, when he's down, he'll still chew your, like, lunch bag, right? This is the analogy I use. He'll chew your lunch bag knowing that he can't get the sandwich, but he'll chew it and annoy you until you just let go of that lunch bag and he'll just eat the whole thing up right in front
of you. That's the kind of person I like, though.
You know, I love that about
you
him.
If you're a sports fan, you just love watching that kind of athlete.
Because
you know
he fights. Exactly. And he plays, he says he plays every point like his life depended on it. That's my favorite quote from him of all time.
Does that make you even like him more coming back from all the injuries he's had to deal with?
Absolutely.
And trying to fight his way. And he's really fought his way back.
I mean, he won the French Open 11 times, which is insane. And I just think, you know, he works hard. He's a guy that truly works hard. And for anyone that knows what it's like to be a tennis player and to come back from an injury and to fight back to get match play and come back to the top, like it's like such a hard thing, and I admire that so much about him. Like, everyone's like, oh, you think he's so hot and that's why you like him. I'm like, no, it's nothing to do with that. Like, I just admire, just like people admire Serena Williams and her grittiness and her toughness and her you know, tenacity. It's the same thing with Rafa. Like, I think he's just such a fighter. You see him on the court, like, he fights for every point. He could be down 5 match points, but he will not give up. As you know me, I'm like, oh, maybe we'll call today. You know what I'm saying? Like,
last thing on him, how do you like his chances here at the U.S. Open?
I like his chances. I know that Novak Djokovic is the favorite because he just beat Federer in Cincinnati, and he just won Wimbledon, and he beat Rafa in that really tough match in the semifinals at Wimbledon. But, you know, Rafa has a pretty good draw. I mean, it's still a tough draw. He plays David Ferreira, a fellow guy from Spain in the first round, so it's a tough draw. But Djokovic and Federer are on the same side.
They can meet.
So you're eliminating one of them, you know. So, you know, it's a tougher draw on the other side. And I think Del Potro is also on that side. Yep. And he's always a very big threat, a dark horse. So I think Rafa's chances are good as long as, you know, he is healthy and he keeps, you know, playing. I mean, he did win Toronto, which is another warm-up tournament, a couple of weeks ago. So I like his chances. And, of course, I'll be rooting for him.
Of course I will be.
And Brian, I'll go shopping with you with those pink sneakers, okay?
Yeah, I could use that. I still might get them. I'm not even playing.
All right. When you get them, please bring them and wear them here on the show.
Tag me on Instagram.
We'll make sure we have a picture for Michelle.
Yeah, sure. I'm tagging me.
All I need is a couple pink shirts to go with it, and I'm good.
Good for you.
Real men wear pink, right?
Good for you. Yeah. Yes. Is that the wrong wearing pink?
No.
I got a couple pink shirts.
Oh, I heard he's wearing sleeveless, too.
Oh, you think the U.S. Open will ban him from wearing
that? Too much skin. He's showing too much skin.
You know the women are going to go crazy when he's
there. Michelle's going to go crazy. For
this. Like I said, I don't. It's not the reason why I go gaga. But they are nice to look at.
Right. Moving on in the world of sports, a lot has come out. There's a report that Jemele Hill reportedly leaving ESPN September 1st. And all of us here, fans of what she's done in her work. But this comes after, was it the president at ESPN has come out and said what, Brian?
Jimmy Pitaro, who is a new president after John Skipper has stepped down earlier this year, he basically said that he wants ESPN to kind of stick more to sports and that they're not a political, you know, sort of thing. Jemele Hill apparently wants to, I don't know if she wants to get into politics necessarily, but it looks like she wants to have more freedom. So reports started surfacing. I think it started with Jim Miller, and then Sports Illustrated reported out that she's her last day is supposed to be September 1st. So this will be your last week. And she apparently has her own production company with Kelly Carter from The Undefeated, I believe.
Yes.
Where Let me see if I can pull up the name. It is Lodge Freeway
Media.
Lodge Freeway Media. So that's one of the things she wants to do. And I guess she just wants to do more, like, you know, behind the camera opportunities, I read. I don't even know if that's correct. But, yeah, Jemele Hill apparently is parting ways with ESPN after this whole whirlwind of activity where, you know, she's on the six with Michael Smith.
Right.
Only for a little while. Then she's gone. And then Michael Smith is gone. And then she's going off to, you know, go to the undefeated, and then people are like, oh, you got fired. And then she's like, no, I'm not. I'm still here doing Highly Questionable, doing Levitar Show, doing all these other programming. Now it's kind of the same thing where her mentions are getting fired up with, haha, you got fired, this and that. And people don't really know any better. But the reality of it is she's just choosing not to, I guess, continue to follow this corporate path. It seems like she wants to do her own thing. Something that I know you're all for, Dexter, because we talked about this a lot, and we're going to continue talking about that. That's like one of the themes of this podcast, is to just do your own thing and be independent. So I guess what are everyone's thoughts here is because Jemele Hill is one of, I guess, in our industry, one of the main, you know, figures of, you know, we really, really admire her, for example. A lot of people do.
Yeah, well, I mean, and obviously for our guest here, Michelle, obviously being a reporter anchor and just seeing, you know, whether it is what you choose to do, but seeing her just leave and go, Michelle, or whatever she chooses to do, do you see that as a good thing, empowering? Maybe she's saying, hey, I don't want to just stick to sports. You know, what do you think about the whole situation here?
Well, I think about it into, there's always, you know, both sides to a story, right?
Of course,
I think.
Well, three.
Right. Yes. But here's the simple, you know, answer that, you know, I have to this and my thoughts. Look, if she can afford to leave,
yep.
And
that's,
you know,
the main thing.
then great, good for her.
Can't do that.
Because, you know, everybody can't do that.
Right.
And I think, you know, sometimes we are so we don't think sometimes. We just do things really quickly. What's the word I'm looking for? Like, we are...
Impulsive?
Yes. We're very impulsive sometimes when we do that. Well, I'm not saying that Jemele is being impulsive. I think Jemele...
Well, they're negotiating a buyout. That's the part of it.
Yeah.
She's not just leaving. They're negotiating a buyout.
I did read that, and I think the buyout was like $2.5 million. So if Jemele Hill's getting $2.5 million for the buyout, then, you know, God bless, she can leave and do whatever she wants. You know what I'm saying? Like, then sure, more power to her that she can go and do that.
And I think that's great.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's
got more than that saved up, I'm sure.
And I have a lot of respect for Jemele. I think she's a fantastic journalist, and I think she has a fantastic voice. I think as an African-American female, she really has paved the way for a lot of, you know, diverse conversations that have happened, you know, throughout the gamut in sports, and I think it's wonderful. And I think it's wonderful that she has set an example for, you know, for others to speak out on topics that they feel strongly about. I mean, you know, obviously the president was a big topic with her, and that was one of the big issues with ESPN, that they wanted to censor her and they wanted her not to speak, you know, her mind. But at the end of the day, you know, we live in America. You know, we have a freedom to speak our mind, and I'm sure there are limitations to what you can or cannot say. You probably can't say, you know, curse words or, you know, or
right.
call people certain names,
yeah.
but you have an opinion. You can say whether or not you think something is right, or that's what sports talk is. That's what table talk is. That's what people do moderate, you know, panels for. You know, this that's what it's about. And I think, you know, she probably felt, I don't want to be censored, and I don't blame her. She wants to have her opinion and have her thought. And I think a lot of her success has had to do with the fact that she has been so opinionated.
Yeah.
So why should she feel she should give that up because, you know, she wants to stay at ESPN?
I feel like
I agree with you completely.
Yeah, I feel like in order to get to a certain level, especially if you're her, you kind of have to walk the line. Like,
yeah.
I remember years ago when she was just a columnist, she got suspended for 30 or 60 days for writing something.
Yep.
I don't know if it was about Chris Bosh or something like that. But, yeah, like, you're going to walk that line. And
right.
now it's a little different because this isn't just she disagrees with the president. This is not some typical president that we've had. This is a celebrity president who is a lot more upfront than other people we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And the discussion.
Who asks for controversy?
Right.
Every day.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think that needs to be noted, and that matters in the yes.
Yeah, and it's not, and he responds back.
Yes.
By the way, and I think ESPN just wants to, like, we don't want any parts of this. We just want to go about our business. But Jemele Hill's like, no, like, I want this fight because I feel like she understands. Not that I want to speak for her, but she understands that this isn't about Democrats and Republicans and
right
and left.
Nor is it just about her.
It's about morals. Right. It's about right versus wrong. It's about what, you know.
And the voice for the people.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And that's something I want to say when it's more than her. It's a voice for the people. And as you brilliantly brought up, how she's empowering other women, minority women, African-American
men
women.
Too.
Men too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, especially, I mean, listen, any minority is looking up at Jemele Hill, any of us that are sitting here in this room and seeing her, what she's done, you know, you have to be like, hey, she's been a voice, she's been true to herself.
Yeah.
And if leaving, as you said, is true to herself and she can afford to do so,
go ahead.
Much
absolutely.
Props to her.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
It's a different world now where there's not just one or two places that should be the final destination to make money. Like, especially now and with the help of social media, but just the way the world is set up, you have a lot of different avenues to get to where eventually you want to.
Well, why should you be silenced and not make money from it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can make money and not be silenced. You know, that's what America is about. We don't live in prison. You know, it's not like you were, you know, living in North Korea where everything is, you know, obviously censored and you can't say X, Y, or Z. We're here because we can provide a voice for people, and change happens with voices being heard.
I feel like that's the whole battle with creative versus corporate, though. Corporate wants to, you know, not all corporate, but a lot of corporate wants to give you money.
But there's
to
a fine line.
And give you and suppress you. And then creative wants to be like, no, I want the freedoms to do this.
Well, the problem is some of these corporate, they have ties with certain and other interests, which may include the president and other people, and sometimes they don't want to upset those interests that they have, so they're going to try to suppress the voice to a certain
degree. I do agree there's a line, though.
There's a line.
You know, there's
like,
a line.
Fine line.
Like, for example, if this is not a great example, but if somebody of, you know, that stature wanted to get into porn, you know, the company's probably going to have an issue.
Brian
with
just
that.
Took this conversation to a whole other level, everyone.
A whole different place.
So it's
that's what you were thinking?
There's a line, right?
Like, no, I get your point.
There's
though.
A line and more.
There's a line and more. And a lot more.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
This is a family podcast, Brian.
Somewhat it is, I guess.
I mean, is it though?
I don't know.
But if you're listening with your family, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on a side note, though, another reason why I love Jemele. So one of my athletic appetites, she actually was hosting with it was on the Levitard.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see
that? I saw this. I saw you repost this.
Yeah. She wanted the Stephon Marbury piece, like the clip of it. She told everyone to watch. She thought it was really interesting. The one where I made hot pot.
Yeah.
Marbury.
Yeah.
So
I saw that.
I said, thanks, Jemele. She's like, yeah, I had something to do with it. But yeah, she's so cool in my book.
Nah.
She's on the very high on the list of people that I need to meet.
Yes. and I haven't met her, but I love her work. So I'm glad.
I love her work.
I think we all agree and wish her the best in whatever she does next with Lodge Freeway Media. We will support
that.
Hopefully they have openings.
Ryan angling for work. Michelle, I know you had limited time. We want to thank you for coming up here again. First person to come up here two times.
Thank you. That is so nice.
I hope you like the new space.
I love the new space. It might need a little AC, but it's a great space. I love it.
Yeah. No, it's really great. We like being here. Thank you so much. Anything new coming up with you that you should let people know about?
Aside from the U.S. Open, of course.
No, I mean, everything's kind of, you know, I've had a lot of stuff new already going on. So, like, it's just, you know, I just have to keep up with it.
Just got to keep it going and keep it rolling. Yeah. All right. So, everybody, you can check Michelle out. She has a show, Athletic Appetites. That's on SNY. You can also see her hosting Sports Night sometimes.
All the time nowadays.
They've been keeping you real busy lately, right?
Yeah, they have.
Give Michelle a break and let her cover some US Open.
Follow me on Instagram, MichelleUTV.
Yeah.
There you go. Make sure you can follow her there. That's it for episode 40. We didn't even give an athlete number for this.
Real quick.
We'll let Michelle choose it.
Number 40. All right. So we got Mike Allstott. We got, do you know what this is?
We always pick our athlete's jersey number to represent the episode.
We're picking Jordan 23.
Well, no, it's the episode number's 40, so it has to
go
with that.
Oh, I see.
And we were not picking Jordan for 23.
So these are... Wait, I think you were 23, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
oh, you were 23.
Yeah, but we didn't start doing it until 30. So when we get to 123, we'll have you back. Okay. And then,
That's maybe
you were 23. You were episode 23.
I mean, we have big plans. So, all right. So, Mike Allstott, James Hasty, former Jets running back, Harrison Barnes, Udonis Haslam, Sean Kemp, Bill Laimbeer, Kurt Thomas, Bartolo Colon. We're not picking this one, but I put it there anyway. Madison Bumgarner, and Deontay Wilder because he has 40 wins.
Who do we pick?
Yeah, who's your pick?
We pick Sean Kemp.
See, I'm with you.
Yeah!
Sean Kemp. I agree.
Yes,
I agree.
Why, Sean Kemp. Why? Because Sean Kemp has my favorite, nastiest in-game dunk when he the dude and pointed at him. Best ever.
So was that Kemp and Detlef? That was...
Yes.
Was that the Chris Gatling one?
No, that was... the guy's name was Liston. I can't remember his first name.
Okay.
That he dunked on.
Okay, yeah.
But it was pretty bad.
That was great.
All right, so we agree on Sean Kemp?
Oh, Sean Kemp.
All right, so Michelle, you is the Sean Kemp episode.
Yeah.
And you, the previous one was a Jordan episode because it was 23.
It's all about the NBA. You know I love it.
Yeah, you know we. You know I love it too. Right.
That would be a funny. That would be an interesting athletic appetizer.
All right.
Sean Kemp.
We have Sean Kemp. All right, Michelle. So we'll have you back on for a third time at some point.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Some point in the future. Thank you so much for joining us. That's it for episode 40 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. For Brian Fonseca and Michelle Yu, I'm Dex Henry. Peace, guys.
Bye.